Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren. It's the Valentine's edition.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, woo! I made a nice, loving breakfast for.
I'm actually eating it right now. Beth made me a great omelet. Feta cheese. Is that spinach in there?
No, kale.
Kale, sorry. Kale, tomatoes. I don't know, it looks like you spice it up a little bit. I mean, it's phenomenal. It really is. I have to say, it's that is the type of gift that I love. Breakfast in the morning. I'm a big breakfast person.
Yeah, well, I've been on liquid lately, and I've been a bit hangry. Not been good the last couple of days. Down a pound, but I'm not, you know.
But if you're down a pound every 2 days,
mm-hmm.
even every 3 days,
right?
Do the math.
I know. I can.
Very proud of yourself. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. But the funniest with this diet, so yesterday my friend Danielle corrected me. I'm going to have Danielle at one point call into the show because she's hilarious and she just knows this diet inside and out. So I had been texting her from the train. She's like, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm hungry." I said, "I'm doing okay."
Your chocolate bar is phenomenal.
Yeah, I said, "I'm fading fast. But I at least had one of the chocolate snacks." And she said, "Chocolate snacks? What chocolate snacks are you having?" And I was like, "You know, the little chocolate bar things that came in a box." And she said, "That's only supposed to be for the cleanse days, not for your shake days."
So you're not entitled to, like, what, how many days now?
I have to look. I think it's like in another couple of days I'm supposed to do the cleanse day. But that's like even worse. So what, on the cleanse day you can eat chocolate, but you can't eat food? So it's like being in prison.
What do you say cleansing? What does that mean?
It's all pretty much all these liquids and then a couple of the little treats in between.
It's not the equivalent of like a colonoscopy, is it?
No. I mean, and I have to say, I've been doing it, and it's, if anything, it just is making my system more regular. But also because I've been trying to drink more water, which I never do, and I know that that's something I'm working on. So I've been. Yesterday, I went into the city early, and I had had, there's a tea that you start with, and you have to have a glass of water, then you have to have coffee, and I could not make it to my appointment without hitting the bathroom first. Like, I was like, I cannot, I'm going to have to go into Grand Central.
Which never happens.
That never happens. And 2 days in a row that happened. And there was no way I was going to go to any other place except the bathroom first, because I couldn't, it was just, I had too much.
Yeah, I mean, so, usually you only, I go to the restroom a couple of times during the day. Like we said, we already talked about this. I'm the one.
Yeah. So this is, look, it's funny because even I always struggle to drink my water, and I know like one serving is 8 ounces of water, and now I've got all these measuring cups everywhere. So this morning while I was making eggs for you and our son and the dog,
you're making food for everyone else.
Except myself.
How unselfish is that?
Right.
That's a selfish act right there.
Really. So I poured 8 ounces of water in a cup because I was looking at the Poland Spring, the big bottle, and there's, you know, that those big bottles, there's a lot of water in there, and you wind up getting discouraged because you can't drink all of that in one sitting. So I said, you know what, let me measure what one serving is, and I will drink this water while I'm making these eggs. And I did it.
There you go.
So I think it's a matter of if I do it in 8 ounce increments, I can handle it. It's when it's in one big bottle that it defeats me. I know it's crazy.
But I think possible that the diet may have been a contributing factor toward our...
So it's the reason why we didn't do our show yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was a contributing... I'm not saying it's the only reason, but to our loyal listeners out there, however many that might be, you notice that we did not do a show yesterday. It's the first time since
January 1st.
January 1st, that we have not done a podcast.
And we apologize for it.
Yeah,
if you were hoping to hear our latest...
No matter how many of you there were, whether
all three of you.
Whether it's 100 ever, we failed you, and we're sorry about that. But truth be told, the reason why we didn't do one yesterday is Beth and I got into a pretty big fight that started from the night before, and it carried over into the morning. Which is unusual because we usually don't, when we get into a fight, they're usually done within, you know, half hour, whatever, and say what we need to say and then move on. But I think it was a couple of things. Beth We're not going to get into the details. Certain things, I'm sorry, we're just not going to share on this.
Yeah.
We'll keep it real, but we're just,
well, it's
Beth,
we
touched,
have,
Beth touched on a nerve on something.
Yes, we have certain, we and we've said this on the show numerous times, it's a tough year financially, so we're just, you know,
right,
we're on edge a little bit financially.
So Beth touched on a nerve. I think that, combined with the fact that she's probably in a very hungry, irritated state from her, which probably changed the dynamic with how she would normally interact with me. And it was late at night, and one thing led to the other, and before you know it, we were just, you know, very upset and angry with each other. And carried over into the morning when Beth looked at me and said, "Oh, we're going to do this podcast." And I'm like, "I'm not doing any podcast now. Forget it." And then, sure enough, by the time about 45 minutes elapsed and things progressed, sure enough, Beth and I did come to our senses and reconcile. But by that time, it was already too late. It was too late to do the podcast because we had to go into the city. And
yes,
by the time we came home yesterday, we decided that we were actually going to go out to dinner instead of doing the podcast.
Yes.
So selfishly, we put our own personal lives ahead of the good of our listeners.
Right, exactly. All three of you. So thank you. We apologize. We're back today. And so we went out, I guess, for our Valentine's Day dinner last night, in a way. Maybe today we'll go, tonight we'll go see a movie. Well, it's hard to get in, and when I don't want to get squeezed on one of those dumb Valentine's Day menus. Who needs that?
Beth did point out to me this morning. She said, "Don't worry, you don't have to get me any Valentine's Day card or anything." I didn't get you one either. And I was like, hard to read whether or not that was a hint, or she really,
no,
I think she actually means, I think she means it sincerely. Like, the whole concept of Valentine's Day, I guess it's nice in theory, but again, it's just another merchant holiday. And like Beth and I like to say, we don't need February 14th
mm-hmm.
as an official date for us to express our love to each other.
Exactly.
Right?
I agree. That's for sure.
What's up, Santana?
And Santana wants to be loved, too. She already had her breakfast and an egg, and every time we do this show, she wants another. She wants a treat. So we're on treats.
We're going to have another fairly free day, right? I mean, our son is going with his friends to this place in Connecticut called Parkour.
Right, and our daughter is going into Manhattan. So
our daughter is going into the city with one of her friends. And so after this, Beth and I are going to go and hit the gym. I'm actually going to go out, and we're going to together go and get you a nice Valentine's Day gift. We're going to go to a store, and we're going to get you a new bathrobe. Right?
Yes, Darren is tired of my ugly bathrobe, so we're going to go and get a bathrobe.
Yeah, yeah. I think Beth got a bathrobe. I don't know where you
My cousin got it for me years ago.
I think it was a donation, actually.
No, it was a present, and I liked it, and I still like it. It's a comfy bathrobe.
I know you still like it. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. So we're going to go and find a nice robe, so I'll do that. And then I have to get a glue gun because I got to start putting together those centerpieces. Today we finally got all the invitations done. We have a couple of mistakes and things we need to fix. I gotta get
And that's something we're trying.
Etiquette, man.
We're trying to weigh etiquette versus just hassle.
We should have. I was saying one of our listeners, my cousin Lee and his wife Sandy. If they are listening now, I'd love for you to call in. I should have told them to because Sandy is the she's the queen of etiquette.
She knows etiquette better than
she
anybody.
She knows etiquette better than anyone. I mean, what I used to love is that when they would invite us to their house. A long time ago, she had like place cards for us to sit down. It was like the coolest thing.
Yeah, it was.
She's awesome.
That's the thing. We're the opposite.
Yeah, we're the opposite.
We're the opposite of etiquette.
We don't send thank you cards.
We're terrible at
Yeah, we're just not good. And I usually say I'm sorry in advance. But in this instance, we had a couple of faux pas on the invitations. One was an oversight that I didn't realize that Darren just raised to my attention today, which was one of our friends has a doctor next to his name, and the last time we had sent out invitations for our daughter's bat mitzvah, we had forgotten it, and we did it again.
Right.
So I got to fix that one. And I don't want to do it with a pen because
right.
It's going to look like I tried to fix it.
Right.
So that's one. Then I have another who is a really good friend who I want to invite the family, so I got to fix that. And then we have an issue where we initially thought that someone was going to invite us, and they didn't, and we had already sent in the addresses, send out the stuff, and now we need to remove them.
No, well, it was a little more. We invited them and their son.
Right, and we thought that they were going to be inviting us, but they didn't, and now we're in a situation where it's like, Do we just bite the bullet and send the invitation and then it's totally ridiculously awkward? Or do we just go ahead and I got to try to print a new invitation? So, I mean, a new envelope. I think it's the latter. I'm going to have to print a new envelope.
So if anybody out there has an opinion on what we should do, please email us.
No, you can call in today at 718-664-9500. So if Lee and Sandy are listening this morning, I don't know if you guys are, but if you are, then you can call in. And if not, we can have you on another time or I'm sure that we will get your feedback to share. But the question really is, if you make those kind of mistakes, is it just better to fix it before you actually drop it in the mail to not create problems? I mean, I have another one with my cousin. I forgot to put his husband's name on the invitation. I only know his husband's first name. I don't know his last name, and I guess it was a carryover from the bat mitzvah, and I just, you know, did the same thing. So now it's his name plus guest, and I think he's probably going to get mad at me about that too.
What are you supposed to...
I may just give a preemptive and say to him, look, that was just from the old list. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sending it to you. But that I may just go and do that. But the others we have to fix. So it'll be interesting.
When you send it to the same-sex couple, what do you do, Mr. Mister?
I did. Well, one of our friends,
Like the group, Mr.
Yeah,
Mister.
No, but you know what? One of our friends, I did the friend that you know from high school, I did his last name. But I don't know which legal name they took. I just did it, and,
right.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, they may say to us, you know, guys, we didn't do that. But I just kind of was like, okay.
Right. It was no ill intention or anything like that. It wasn't like you were trying to slight anybody or you were trying to slight anybody.
Yeah, no, I didn't. So, whatever. It's a learning process, and that's the one thing. You know, then you get to, okay, so then you send everything out, and then you start talking about, oh, who are we going to sit next to each other? This one doesn't talk to each other anymore. What do we do if this one's in a fight? Where do we put this one? You know, it's all these crazy things.
Which goes back to a podcast that we did earlier in the year where we basically said, at these types of events, just remember, it's not about you. It's about the kid or the couple or whatever big affair it is that you're going to think about that. So it's something that comes across and it's not that ideal for you. Or, you know, I forgive us, but you basically just suck it up, right? I mean,
let's
just realize that there was no, we're not looking to insult anybody or whatever. Things happen in the course of life.
Exactly. And so we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But at this point, we're just moving right along. The first step I've been doing all the different things with the bar mitzvah, literally ticking off each of the things in the to-do list. Darren was very impressed with the invitation today.
They're phenomenal.
And that's, I mean, it was fun. I love doing this stuff. I think I should have just been an event planner because I do enjoy all this, like creative stuff.
By the way, the other thing, too, circling back to the diet you're on. You know the other benefit of this diet?
It's going to save us money.
Saves money. Like, our bill yesterday for dinner, including tip for the two of us, for a nice place, came out to $100.
Yeah, because we didn't have any alcohol. Well, you had.
I had one beer.
Right. We didn't have dessert.
But the...
had a lot of vegetables.
Yeah, right. Vegetables, didn't have any dessert. Didn't have any coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that alone adds $30 to $35 to a bill.
Right.
I mean, generally, also when you're ordering things off the menu, tend to lean toward probably more salad type options as opposed to other stuff. Not always, but.
And you know what the funniest though, and I don't know whether it's because it's like you're only allowed to have one meal a day, but everything I'm eating tastes so good, and I think it's just because I'm like so hungry that any morsel that I put in my mouth is like delicious. Even these shakes now are tasting better because it's like the only thing I get to have. So I just feel like, I was just saying, like when I last night, I said each piece of food that we ate, I was like, this is so good. And usually Darren orders mussels. And the funniest is that I never eat mussels. I always think they have like a fishy aftertaste. I'm like not into them. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to order the mussels. Are you going to eat any? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, if it was an arm, I would eat it. So I wound up eating the mussels and I had more than I ever have had before. And they were so good. So I just was like, you know, things that I'm usually don't eat. I'm eating because I'm starving. So, and my friend claims that I'm not going to be that hungry after 3 days. So today's day three, and I'm working it out.
You're doing great.
I'm working it out. I was just saying how I ate all those mussels yesterday.
I know you never
eat mussels.
It's like, wow, these mussels taste pretty good. Listen, I order mussels all the time when we go out. Not once has Beth ever said that.
Uh-uh.
Right?
Never. Honestly, everything that I ate yesterday tasted so good, and I don't understand. I mean, I love that restaurant. It's called Vintage 1891. It's in Largemont. It's delicious. It really is a great. Like, the chef is awesome. The people are nice. I really love, love, love that restaurant. And we get fixated on a restaurant, and we'll go a lot, and then we'll kind of lay off a little bit. But this one, consistently, the food is phenomenal, and I like it. So, but for some reason, my taste buds were just like this heightened sense of like anything that I ate was like, oh, that's good.
Even some of the stamps you were looking at.
Yeah, exactly. The stamps, even that, like, I'm like, okay, at least it's flavor.
Yeah.
But no, but Danielle also said I need to get gum. So I got to get gum. I got to get some snow peas. I got to get some, you know, healthy veggie snacks today. So I think I'm going to go to the, one of the
our friend Bob, by the way, just picked up our son.
Yeah.
At the park where I'm sure he's wondering, like,
why are we
sort of rushing around and rushing back to the table there? We're doing a podcast
he was mentioned on the podcast before, so we'll have him in as a guest. We can do that. That's not a problem. So yeah, so that's the that was our dinner last night. I think tonight, like I said, I want us to avoid those ridiculous restaurants.
We'll
go to a good movie. My parents
they don't mark up movie prices.
No, they don't. You know, my parents, since, you know, they're down in Boynton Beach, and they are going
Boynton
to
Beach?
Boynton Beach. Boynton Beach.
You see, Beth keeps going back to Boynton Beach. That sounds good. I'll have a Boynton Peach.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, down in Boynton, they're busy going to see all these movies because I think they get the senior discount and they get all kinds of, like, freebies.
Like, what does the movie cost them, like, $2?
Maybe $4. I mean, $5. I would say $5. Who knows? But anyway, they went to see Black and White with Kevin Costner. They said it was really good. They loved it.
That looks good.
Yeah, so
I like Kevin Costner when he does a decent film outside of Waterworld.
Yeah.
And Octavia Spencer, she's great.
Yeah, so it's highly recommended for Neil and Lenore out of Boynton Beach, Florida.
And it's listen, we know it's tough to get a good recommendation.
From my dad?
More from your mom.
No. My mom is more about the book. No, but my dad, I was talking to him last night, and he said, oh, we saw a great movie. You got to go see this. This was terrific. We really enjoyed it. So, highly recommend it. If you're going out to a movie tonight, Black or White. Or is it Black and White? Or Black or White? With Kevin Costner.
I think when we go to the movies, we're not going to get confused and go into the wrong one. It'll either say Black and White.
Or black or white.
There will be two different movies there. One called Black and White, one Black or White.
Okay? Exactly.
I think we'll get to the right one.
Exactly. So that I think, is a good option tonight. And then
snow, right?
Again, well, Boston. We should bring Kevin Lemanowitz back on. They're going to be hammered. They're saying it's like a hurricane. 2 feet of snow they're expecting.
2 feet they're expecting?
Yes.
On top of whatever they already had.
On top of everything that they already had. It's pretty sad.
If there's anybody in Boston who wants to get out of Dodge and find another place to stay for a while, you can come on down by us. The rent will be pretty cheap, I promise.
Yeah, we'll do Airbnb, New Rochelle.
Right,
what we need.
Right, you can join us on our podcast in the morning.
Yeah, we've had that.
We have a nice guest room for you to stay in. And like I said, we're very reasonable on our rent request. So.
Ooh, look at this. I'm just looking at movies tonight. And The Breakfast Club is playing at Alamo.
Really?
At 7 o'clock tonight.
Can't you just get that on Netflix?
Yeah, but that's kind of cool. I would see that. Maybe Rebecca, our the person who lives off in the house, who not our daughter would like to go.
That girl who lives in our house, not our daughter, but that girl.
Not our daughter. Meanwhile, I'm looking for the movie with Kevin Costner, and it's not here.
Maybe it's only playing
in Boynton Beach.
Maybe they're doing a test run in Boynton Beach first.
There's a lot of 50 Shades of Grey.
It's like the saying goes, play in Peoria. You used to be a saying. Like, you know that saying?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, of course.
You know where Peoria is?
Illinois.
Right. they used to say, well, fly inferior. Do you know the reason why they said that?
Why?
I believe the reason they say that
is that that's like the heartland.
Like if it can do okay there, it'll do well anywhere.
Look at this, that movie Whiplash that was nominated that we haven't seen. That's playing at our fancy, not our fancy, at our old-fashioned movie, old-timey movie theater in Larchmont.
It's funny how quickly that scrolls right down, right past the movie that I keep asking about.
I mentioned 50 Shades of Grey. You didn't hear it.
Wait, what did you say?
I said, oh, look, there's 50 Shades of Grey. It's everywhere. I can't believe it. We can't go see this nice Kevin Costner movie. Oh, wait, I take it back. Where is it? New Rock City.
Okay, I'm gonna make you tell everybody again. What is the 50 Shades of Grey movie about?
It's about a girl who like graduates college, who's writing an article about this successful millionaire, billionaire, whatever. And she goes into his office, and he's gorgeous, and they right away he takes an interest in her, and he starts like he whisks her off her feet, but as she gets to know him more and more, she starts discovering that he's like he's into all kinds of sexual, say like S&M and dominatrix and whatever. And as much
that's very uncomfortable when she says
and
that.
I don't want to say she's kind of prudish at the beginning, but she is kind of she's a little uncomfortable about it. But she falls for this guy, and it's like whatever he wants to do, she does, and it's her kind of going into this crazy world. But he also has like all these different demons, and he has to come to terms with it, and he's whatever.
Well, I asked you this yesterday. How is this movie or book any different than what I remember as a movie being with Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke, 9 1/2 Weeks?
Weeks was that? It wasn't based on a book, was it? I don't know.
We'll have to ask our friend Alicia.
Yeah, Alicia reads a lot of erotica.
Alicia,
I just called her out. That's good. She's like, thanks.
She reads it from an analytical standpoint.
Right. She does it because she's going to be teaching a course online about erotica.
Exactly.
So she needs to keep reading these books and see how they change the nuance. Is it dominatrix?
Yes.
This book? Is it going to be like a key party kind of story?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things.
Very analytical.
Exactly. Okay. Not analytical. It's academic.
It's very academic in nature.
Right, exactly. I'm sure somebody in this world has got to be teaching us, a sex and erotica class. I'm sure.
Of course they are. It's got to be being taught somewhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's courses for anything and everything.
I know. So, right? And I mean, not that our daughter is doing that in her class, but they did.
I hope not.
I hope not. No, they're not doing that. But they finished Les Miserables, which was a 1,200-page book. And then now she's about to read The Kite Runner. And she asked me the other day, she said, did you read it? I said, yeah, I read it several years ago. She goes, so what's it about? And I go,
about a boy.
I said, it's about a boy and a kite. And I don't really remember.
And that was it.
That was it.
That was the whole
story. She's like, oh, thanks. I said, well, you should talk to your grandmother because my mom, what I love about my mom is that she reads a million books. And, she writes in a notebook every single book she's ever read and a description of it. And part of it is because she has this fear, because of my grandmother having Alzheimer's, that there's going to be a time where, unfortunately, she's going to lose her memory and she doesn't want to, she wants to be reminded. So my mom has her own version of the notebook. It's not the love story of how she and my dad met. It's every single book she's ever read, so that if she picks it up and doesn't remember if she read it, she can look in the notebook and say, oh, yeah, I read it already. But sometimes she reads books more than once. So I can.
That, by the way, to me is the most amazing part of that story. The fact that she reads so many books that she.
She will read it again. She sometimes will read a book again just that it was that good. And but.
You know how much of a struggle it is for me to get through one book?
I know. I mean, I look forward. We haven't really gone on vacation in a long time. And even our last vacation, I had to work during it. So I think I read one book. But normally, when we go away and I can truly or semi-unplug, I'm able to read at least three books when we're away.
Wait, you'll read three books?
I'll read three books, because normally I'll read on the way there, then I'll read a book while we're on vacation, and then I'll read a book on the way home. So that's always my goal, is to do that. And
your daughter reading much lately?
Well, she reads for school, but the books that they're reading are terrific. I mean, the books that her teacher is assigning are books that...
I love the books.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, they're great books, and I'd rather her be reading books that are going to be engaging, because that gives you the opportunity to really fall in love with reading as opposed to, okay, I want you to read Romeo and Juliet and tell me all about Macbeth and what that means and what the deeper meaning is. That stuff used to drive me crazy. I never knew what the heck any of that stuff
was. Speaking of which, since you mentioned them both, our kids got the report cards and they were both very good.
Yes, they both did very well.
I'm very psyched about. And I'm very psyched about the fact that our daughter is taking some very challenging classes this semester. And even though she, had a little bit of difficulty kind of stuff, she's really working her butt off. And I think pulling through very well and doing nice. So,
and we're still getting.
I'm very psyched about that.
Yeah, and we're still getting all these little notes from all these schools. Pratt emailed us again.
Yeah, well, listen, the more will be coming. We're just in the beginning stages of this college.
Yeah, thank goodness. So we're once we get out of the bar mitzvah year, we'll have 1 year of not spending a boatload of money, and then we'll have to go back into it again.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have like a...
Yeah, but then certain expenses come off. You see, things you forget about, for example, summer camp.
Right, for her, it came off. It hasn't come off for him yet.
Right, and well, other expenses for us over time, they come off as well.
Yeah, no, it's true.
One expense falls off, then one comes on.
You know what's interesting? It's funny. I had a Facebook friend who's a blogger posted something the other day. It said, if you were able to speak to yourself like 10 years ago, what would you tell yourself? And so I said, my thing was, stay the course, keep putting money into your 401k, and make sure your kid's 529 is completely like paid for college 10 years ago. Because, you think about 10 years ago, it's always like anything else. It's everything is short term until there's a little bit of long term when you don't have to think about it. But when
we did a lot of good at the beginning. We did a lot of good stuff, too. Right?
We did.
We always paid off more on our mortgage than we were supposed to, right? We did a lot of that. We did max out on our 401ks when we were working at the company, okay? So it's not like we were just in spending money, without any regard for the future. We actually...
Yeah, we have put away, but it's just now that I've been on, in business since 2007, that's been a time where we really haven't...
The reality is, the reason why it's more difficult here, or you're... past 12 to 14 months is because I don't have any income coming in for myself. I mean, that's it. It's not like our expenses have changed dramatically. The revenue line of the equation for the Feldman household has changed.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will change sooner rather than later. Things can go according to plan, which they never seem to do.
Well, it will. And, it's funny. Another Facebook post that I saw, I thought you would be inspired by this one. Someone I went to high school with, his name is Andy Briller, nice guy. His wife posted on his Facebook page on the 20th anniversary of his dry cleaner business. And she said she met him in 1996, and he had just started this dry cleaner business. It was up like for a year. And he had decided this was the business he was going to do. And 20 years later, she said he put in crazy hour days and works so hard and really cares about his customers and does, really a great job. And 20 years later, he's super successful with this dry cleaner. And
he has one location or?
Yeah, he's in, I'll tell you exactly where it is. I'll give a shout out. So it's Andrew Howard Dry Cleaners. They're out in Long Island. But it was nice. She said, I met Andrew in 1996 when the store was brand new. He was working seven days a week, 12 to 14 hour days, giving it everything he had to make it successful, to make it a success. Hard work pays off. But what amazes me most is that after 20 years, he has the same passion and dedication he did then. He takes pride in everything he does. He is always willing to go that extra mile for any of his customers because that's who he is as a person in and out of his store. Congratulations on 20 years of success. You have earned every bit of it. But more than that, thank you for being a role model for our children. Hard work, passion, and being the best at what you do is the way to go. Wishing you the best Valentine's Day and many more years. Beautifully clean clothes for me. Love you.
That's very
Isn't
nice.
That wonderful? I don't know his wife at all, but he was.
That's a very nice, thoughtful awesome. I'm serious.
That's right? Really and good. I wanted to share that with you.
Good for you, Wendy. Nice job.
Exactly. I should tell Wendy and Andrew, like the Andy, like, that was something that was super sweet. I haven't seen him in a long time. My friends have seen him. But, you know, nice guy. He was someone I went to high school with, and we'd all hang out, and he's a good guy.
I got to spend time writing through Facebook messages like that. In general.
Yeah. No, I agree with you because it does.
Instead of my cynical stuff.
Well, because stuff that gets you down is.
Yeah, nobody wants to see
it. Nobody wants to see the negative. Everybody wants to have the everything is wonderful on Facebook posts.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, every time I post anything that's actually like positive or happy or whatever, people say, you know, some really nice things. So it's just because, you know, we can air our, since it's cleaners, we can air our dirty laundry or our laundry on our show and talk about what the reality is and everyone
our
out
dirty
there.
Laundry.
Hold on. Everyone out there has a story that's, you know, as well as you're doing, there's always a story of what's in your life that you're not happy with. And in light of going back to, you know, what happened this week in the news with Bob Simon, who lost his leg suddenly, and then there was another New York Times reporter who died suddenly, and you keep hearing all these crazy stories. Life's too short not to be happy.
Sure.
You know, and I know I get nervous about finances because I'm terrible at it, but I know that somehow, some way, we're going to be okay. And
as you like to say, we have no choice.
We have no choice, exactly. So, and some of the people who are the happiest are the ones that are not, you know, living above their means, not living, you know, living places right. Where they downsize, things have to, you know.
You want
to
be super happy, try being poor.
Hey, no, I'm not saying try being poor, but eventually it'll be nice to be living in a place that's smaller and not as, you know, not as expensive. I mean, we say it all the time, but it'll be great not to have like you open up an envelope and it's like, oh my God, seriously?
Well, speaking of which, one of our friends off the block, I'm not going to mention the name, is actually, you know, I would say fairly well to do. You know, they're definitely in the upper echelon of income.
Right.
They're selling their house. And they're also selling another house, a summer home, and they're consolidating, and they're going to move in the area just to another house on a little bit bigger property. But even that are looking to.
Well, it makes sense because it's like if you've got property taxes here,
yep.
And then property taxes out in another location, and you realize that maybe it's better to just have one location and then go on great vacations, go to Airbnb, rent someone's home from time to time. If you can find a good place, and you know,
property taxes are just a killer.
Yeah,
they really are. It's something's got to change in Westchester. I mean, you know, like I know my parents in Queens, they pay a fraction of what we pay.
But when we were looking at houses at the time, even though the taxes were lower, the price of the homes were more expensive, and that's why we did what we did. Because I remember we looked at Bars Hills, and like some of the prices of the homes were just too expensive for us to take on, and that's why we didn't do it. But we had looked in the boroughs first. We thought maybe we would live in Queens first and then eventually move, but we went straight here. And when we first moved here, while the taxes were high, they weren't what they are right now. So,
it's a reflection of the value of the home over time.
Yeah.
The value of our house wasn't as high back then.
Exactly.
Either. So,
right.
There's a reason why property taxes.
By the way, I have to tell you, and then we're going to have to take our daughter to the train, but I was talking to my mom because they're, you know, seriously talking about selling their home in the Hamptons, and we started to get to the topic of their furniture, which you know as well as I do, some of the furniture there is awesome. So my mom said, you know, oh, I'm going to have to figure out what I'm doing. I'm like, what do you mean figure out what you're doing? I'm like, I'm taking your entertainment unit. I'm taking this. I'm taking that. Even if I have to get a U-Haul, I'll take whatever it is because they have gorgeous stuff. And I always have admired some of the things, pieces that she's gotten. I've gone shopping with her to pick them out and everything. So just so you know, eventually when they do sell the home, we're going to be getting some really gorgeous furniture. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, it is. They're going to come. They're going to go this summer. They'll stay in the house this summer. And then I think after that, the other piece that my mom was saying is that the people in the community that now live there are not very nice. and they have really been not so nice to my dad, and he's the president of the association, and they're really being disgusting. So the whole community has kind of changed, and one of their good friends are going to be leaving too. And so it's sort of like it's this foregone conclusion, but it's also that, you know what, they're not happy even in that community because the people that they were really good friends with are leaving. So as much as we would have wanted that, it's not going to happen, but it's okay because we're going to have other things. We can go away with them. We can do other things that'll, you know, be just as special. So
left blow to the side of the face right there.
That's okay. It's okay because we're going
to
have...
I love going out to the Hamptons.
Well, it's beautiful, but it's just, you know what? It happens. And
your parents have one of the best deals going on anywhere. Really,
well, you can talk to them, but at this point, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're not leaving this summer, but they're going to leave. So with that, we have to get our daughter to the train, get ready to go to the gym, and get ready for Valentine's Day.
Make it a nice Valentine's Day.
Exactly. So make it a nice Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, be good. Be kind to your loved one, whoever that might be, okay?
Right, whether they're here.
And not just today, not just because of Valentine's Day. Be kind and loving no matter what day it is.
Exactly. And just at the end of the show, the four-legged friend that we love so much just is coming here. Santana is sending her very best to all of her dog friends.
Yeah,
she misses them at the, I'm not going to say the word because she'll start barking.
Yeah, exactly.
She's been deprived and hasn't been able to go to her favorite place. So we'll see what happens this week, and hopefully we can get her there at some point because we love her too, along with our cats and even Guapo. And of course our two kids, but you know, that's whatever.
That's a gift.
Yeah. So thanks for stopping by, everybody.
Have a good Valentine's Day. Stay classy.